earlier the night? You remember where you was? Remember when you was going down for the last time? Remember when the devil had a hold of you, smothering the life out of you? And he grabbed a hold of you and jerked you right up out of sin and saved you, huh? That's what the Lord does. He don't save you in your sin. He saves you out of it, huh? He puts you in the boat and puts you on fresh clothes, dries you off, takes you to the other side. That's what he does this morning. You remember? I remember. People say, well, you was young. Yeah, but I was just as lost as anybody. And now I'm just as saved as anybody. Huh? Think about that. All right. We'll look in Luke chapter 17 this morning. We'll give you some thoughts. Now, we've spent a lot of hours without our phones. Hallelujah right there. And so when I spend a lot of hours without my phone, then I do a lot of more intense thinking. And that may be good, that may be bad. It just so happens the last Wednesday, before I left, I thought on thoughts, if you remember. Thought on our mind. But we just think about things, think about ourselves, and think about you, think about the world, the shape things are in everywhere. And I want you to understand, I'm not going to belittle your problem. Do no one take me wrong from this. I'm not going to belittle your problem at all. Many of your problems are more serious than I've ever even thought about. And so I'm not belittling that. But can I tell you, it's not an uncommon problem, whatever you have. That there's 8 billion, 8.5 billion people upon this planet. And there is other people that are going through similar things. It ain't going to be what you're going through exactly, but it's similar things that you could put in a category. And I want you to understand that not only for them, but for us, the Lord's still our answer. The Lord's the only hope. He's not a hope. He's the only hope. And we're going to have to learn to trust the Lord. Now, I know everybody's happy and tickled because, or most people, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people are happy because of an election. But can I tell you, it never affected my spirituality one bit. Amen. And it didn't yours either. Because it has no bearing on that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. It's not, if you're trusting a man, I don't care. It matters to me not what your politics are. I mean, you know how I feel about everything, but you're trusting in no hope. All right. I'm not trusting in a good economy or a bad economy. I'm not trusting a dollar bill. Anything I know about a dollar, it takes a lot to get it and don't take much to lose it. That's the only thing I know about a dollar bill. Yeah. And it sure ain't worth what it used to be. Huh? See, I'm the generation still. I can say this with a happy heart. I'm still the generation of penny candy. Going to the store and getting a paper poke of penny candy. I'm still in that generation. Now, some of y'all don't even know what a poke is. But that's all right. I still, when I go to the store, I still tell them, would you put my stuff in a poke? And they look at me right funny. I said, a bag, okay, a bag. Yeah. Don't get me started. I don't want to get off on a rabbit track here. But anyway, I just want you to understand that the world is not learning to trust the Lord. I understand the world not wanting to trust the Lord. They don't know the Lord. But we at the church house, we that say that we're saved and have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we need to know to trust the Lord. And is it easy? Well, it ain't easy if we stick our nose in it. We can't trust him and tell him how to operate. We got to trust him in the way he operates. And I'm such a, I hate to say it, I'm a micromanager. Okay? And so I trust the Lord. Lord, you're doing great. Now, if you'll do this, it'll be better. You know, I think you need to do this right here, Lord. I mean, that's the way I feel. And Isn't that right? I mean, I'm still looking into Scripture where I'm allowed to kill people. I'm trying to find where the Old Testament prophets, where that was took away in the New Testament pastors. All right? See, I'm trying to tell the Lord what to do. Y'all understand. And y'all think I'm kidding. I really ain't. I've been serious. In fact, I've made some calls to some theologians to see if I can find it in the Scripture somewhere. And I'll start with myself. Now, listen to me this morning. We got to learn to trust the Lord. We'll give you some thoughts this morning. I'm going to challenge you. We'll challenge you this morning. The Lord will have to convict you. I'm going to challenge you. If what I say convicts you, then you ain't taking it right. If the Lord don't convict you, ain't going to do you no good. Now, I'm going to challenge you, and you're going to have to make a decision. That is for sure. You're going to have to make a decision, yay or nay. I like things yay or nay. I'm not, I don't know if y'all have noticed, I don't like to mince words. I don't like to beat around the bush. I know that's hard to believe, but I like a yes or a no. I like up or down, in or out, good or bad. I like it simple because I'm not very smart, so. And if Jimmy Smith was here, he'd say, that's right, Brother Mark, you're not real smart. And only a couple of y'all know Jimmy Smith, John, Judy, and me and Cheryl. And that's another story. But I got a lot on my mind. Can y'all tell I got a lot on my mind? And, well, let's pray. Father, I come. Lord, there's nobody better than you. I've read a lot about a lot of people. Met a lot of people. Met a lot of famous people, but there ain't nobody like you. Been a lot of people awful good to me, kind and considerate. Been a lot of people that's helped me down through life, family and friends. Ain't nobody ever done for me what you have. Amen. Been a lot of people that's loved me when I've messed up and loved me when I've done right. But ain't nobody ever loved me like you love me. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes. And oh, I just want to praise you this morning, yes, if I could, for just a bit, and let you know that though I'm nothing, yes, you've took me and you're my everything this morning. Yes. I fail, oh, I fail miserably, but I sure do love you this morning. Yes. And I ask you to help me, Lord. I ask you to cleanse my mind, my heart. Lord, I can't do it. I can't stand here this morning. I can't preach without you. I got to have you. I got to have your touch. Lord, I can't expound on your word. I can't say nothing about your word unless you help me and direct me. I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to every heart. And Lord, as I put forth a challenge this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit might bring conviction upon us of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come, that you might burn in our heart what we ought to be this morning, and then give us the courage to do it. May you get all glory. Thank you for the songs. Oh, you rescued me. Oh, it's been a long time, but I'm glad I'm still in the boat on the way to the other side. Thank you, thank you, thank you for it all. Now help me, Lord. I need power. Touch me fresh, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. We so easily lose focus of the most important thing in this life. We lose focus of the Lord. We lose focus on our Lord. He's number one. He is it. He's it. Then, you know, when we lose focus on the Lord, then we'll lose focus on family, and then we'll lose focus on friends. And we're bad to forget. And it seems like we forget on a purpose, but nevertheless, we lose focus is what it is. And so often we find ourselves, I don't know about you, but what I find in the world in general is that we get consumed with ourselves. That we can't see anything for seeing us. You know what I mean? Sometimes we can't see nobody for seeing us. We can't see the Lord because we're in the way. Yeah. And you know, it's hard to think when you're looking out this way that you're in the way, but when we're self-consumed, it happens. We get consumed with circumstances and issues. And everybody's got circumstances and everybody's got issues. I mean, that's life. That's life that we got to deal with. Everybody has their part. But sometimes we need to refocus. I've thought sitting there studying and writing down a few things, how hunting season's in and people's going out sighting their rifles in and making sure everything is dead on, you know, so we can go kill a deer and have some deer dumplings and just deer steak. Ain't that good? And gravy and biscuits. Won't that taste good?
Yeah. Hmm?
But the reason we do that, the first thing we gotta do, we check our scope and normally there's nothing wrong with it. Normally, cause it sets and it's not used. Just when we need it. But so often when we shoot it, it's off. Because something bumped it along the way. And sometimes our eyes get dim. Me and BB was talking. You know, BB's my older brother and he's the oldest in the family, you know. He was talking about glasses. And he was saying how true the Bible was that when it talks about our eyes get dim. It's really not, you can't see, it just seemed like they're dim. And I found that sometimes the scope on a deer rifle gets a little out of focus. It's dim, is what it is. You gotta adjust it. Refocus. You follow me? And then things get clear when we refocus. And I thought about that. I said, well, that's what we need. We need refocus this morning because our focus is on, we've done spend 4 years focused on politics and we've lost the power of God to the point that we couldn't find Christ in here with the searchlight.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody all right with that? Well, you need to be all right with that. Because that's where our focus has been. Our focus has been on the country and everything else. And we forgot the Lord. We need refocused this morning. We need refocused. And if we refocus, then we're going to have to return back to what it was, you know, get it back to clarity, you know. And then probably have to go ahead and repent. There's your good outline. You know, refocus, return, repent, and joy. How about that, Brother Rick? Joy. That's what we need this morning. That's not the message, that's just thoughts. Sometimes we get to where our focus is on service. As I mentioned a while back, we get caught up in service instead of the Savior. We get caught up in doing instead of rejoicing in what's done. And can I tell you, if you get over what's been done, you'll never do anything. Can I say that again? If you get over what's been done, you'll never do anything. Think about that. And I'm afraid we get over. We get over. You know, I can't get over some things. I can't get over the night I was saved. We'll get to the message of Scripture in just a moment. I remember the night I got saved as sure as I'm aware of my surroundings this morning. I can tell you, even though I wasn't but 10 years old, I can tell you pretty well the congregation and give you their names of so long ago. 51 years ago. 51 years ago when I come to Christ. I remember the weeks prior. I remember the feeling of being lost. The understanding of being lost. I remember what it felt like to be scared. I remember the drawing of the Holy Spirit in the Sundays previous. During the preaching and during the invitation, the drawing that was just like a magnet pulling me to the front of the churches. I remember that longing inside of coming to Christ. I remember that. I remember that night so long ago after Daddy preached, and I couldn't sit no longer, that when B.B. started playing the piano and Bert Painter stood to sing softly and tenderly, "Jesus is calling for you and for me," that I took 3 short steps from the front bench to the altar. Nobody come and brought a Bible. Nobody come and prayed and said, "You know this." I come lost, knowing I was lost. Yeah. Calling on Jesus to save me, knowing He was the only one. Amen. Standing, knowing that He saved me that moment. And I'll never forget Daddy leaning off the side of the pulpit that said, "What happened, boy?" And I said, "I got saved, Daddy. I got saved." I'll never, ever forget that. I can't get over what He's done for me. I don't want to get over that moment. I don't want to get over that moment that on the way home, going around Fed Station, that's how we had to drive to go to Dothan. The bridge wasn't in. The New River Bridge wasn't even in. And we drove around Old Fed Station Road. On the way home, I said, now, I leaned up between Mom and Dad. And I said, "Now it don't matter if we do go over the hill. We're all saved now, Daddy." It was real as I'm standing right here this morning. And I don't want to get over that. Amen. And I said all that to say this. I'm afraid that too many times we get over and we forget where we was and what we was. We forget the lostness. We forget the despair. We forget the brokenness. We forget the darkness. We forget the knowing that we was not where we ought to be with God, that there was a problem somewhere. But oh, that wonderful moment when Christ come in. And you say, "Well, I don't have that." Then you can have that today. Because if you don't have that, oh, can I tell you, you're missing something. You're missing something. Listen, I didn't get saved by signing a card. And I didn't get saved by going to the pond up on Paint Creek. They couldn't baptize me in Paint Creek because it rained and the creek was too high. So they took me up to the pond up there on Paint Creek. Hey, I didn't get saved because of the pond. I couldn't even find the pond today. I don't know where it's at. Huh? But can I tell you, I got saved that night. And I never got over that. But I'm afraid we get over things too quick. Yeah. We've forgotten. We've forgotten what it's like to be a sinner. People have forgotten what it's like to sin. Now we ain't forgotten what it's like to sin because we practice that all the time. Yeah. But we don't practice remembering. Huh? I sat on a tree stand this week from 6:30 to 5:30 every day. Huh? Sat there, and I remembered I sat there and I wasn't seeing no deer. So I remembered the deer I'd killed in the past. I remembered my first one. I remembered the last one. Are you following? Ain't nothing wrong with memory. Ain't nothing wrong with yours either. You think there's something wrong with it. No. No. Is anybody following me this morning? Amen. See, the reason I remembered all of them deer, because that was what I was occupied in. Yeah. I was deer hunting. So since I wasn't seeing any, I thought about the ones I used to see. So I know what to do when I saw one. So, you ever just sit and thank the Lord for the night you saved you and the day you saved you. Brother Rick told about this morning. See, he hadn't forgot. Did y'all listen to Brother Rick teach Sunday school? He said that at night when the soul winners come by my house and knock on my door and ask me if I believe the Bible, And I said, yeah, well, Grandma did, and Daddy, Mommy did. Yeah, I believe what the Bible says. And when they didn't, and you hear what he said? And then they told me how bad I was, and that Jesus would save me. See, can you remember this morning when he come by your way? Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember? Huh? Do you remember? See, some of you, I could tell your testimony. Huh? But I don't need to. You ought to. I don't need to remember it. You ought to be the one remembering it. So I can remember many that's walked aisles in the 40 years of preaching, and the many in the office, and the many down at the house, and the many in the hospital, and the many in the workplace that's come to Christ. But I'm not the one that ought to be remembering it. It ought to be the one that's got it. But I'm afraid we get so consumed with life and everything that goes on, that we forget what the Lord had done for us.
Yeah.
Jesus rescued me. Yes, he rescued me from the cold, dark waters of sin's troubled sea. Oh, he rescued me. New life. New life. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm just introducing. I ain't even ready for the message. I just want you to remember for just a minute the moment that he come to you and spoke peace to your troubled soul and saved you. And if you don't have that moment, I invite you to come to Christ, that you might have that moment that he frees you from the very power of sin and saves your ungodly soul this morning. I can tell you, it'll make a difference in your life if you've never trusted Christ. I can tell you almost the address that Hope has testified about. I can tell you the Tuesday night, Brother Dave. I can tell you the day in there in the office, Brother Chris, as you sat in my office in there. I remember the testimony of the beside the piano at Bible school program with Paul Skye. See, listen, I can tell your testimony, but you're the one that ought to be telling it. You're the one that ought to be remembering it. You're the one that ought to be rejoicing over it. Not me. See, I can tell you about the Easter Sunday of 1976 with Brother John. Yeah, I remember. See, I remember these things. Been a long time. Is everybody following me this morning? See, oh, the difference things make. Let's look in Luke chapter 17, can we? Luke 17. We'll give you a few thoughts and let you go home and eat a turkey. Luke 17, verse 11 is where we'll start. Said, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he, that's speaking of Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Amen. Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks that he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. We're going to look at this just for a moment. We're going to look at these verses just real quick, and you'll get the gist of it here before we get done about the challenge. And I want you to think about some things here. When I look at verse 11, what do we have here? Well, I see Jesus going to people in Samaria, Jerusalem. I see him going through Samaria. People that didn't deserve nothing. They were half-breeds, looked down upon. Nobody liked them. they fought amongst themselves. They fought amongst the Jew. They fought amongst the Gentile. And they had an attitude about themselves that it was their problem. And, you know, I think Sergeant York said, how that people down in on the bottom land look down on people on top. I think that's what Sergeant York said. You know, when you get so low, when you're so poor, you know, you act like we're better than the people who've got something. Are you listening to me? We look down on people that's got more. And that's what the Samaritans were. They looked down on people that had more. Who had more of a inheritance? Who had more of a chance? See, Samaritans didn't have much of a chance in gaining much prestige or wealth or anything because they were half-breeds. Everybody still follow me? Then we look at verse 12. It says, he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And them 10 men, you know, 10 lepers. Now, leprosy, we understand, leprosy usually ain't something you're born with. It's a disease you catch. Normally. But what it does, it rots you. It rots you, and ain't no cure for it, I don't reckon. There's still leper colonies today. I believe over in Burma, Boyd and Bob and them, they went to some of them leper hospitals, had leprosy. And what happens, your body just rots and falls off. You know, your ears fall off, your nose falls off. Your fingers and your toes fall off. Then your feet will fall off, you die. I mean, that's just what happens. You rot and die. I mean, that's pretty bad, you know. But what they do about leprosy, see, lepers ain't with everybody else. Lepers got to hang together. You understand that? Them lepers hung together. They were 10 of them. They wasn't one of them. It was 10 of them. Can I tell you that sinners hang together? They hang together. People of the same thoughts hang together. People hang together. People like Chevrolets, they're looked down upon, you know. But actually, you know, they're the cream of the crop. But you know, it's hard to hang with a Ford guy. It is hard. I mean, they be a little liberal, they'll hang with a Dodge guy. But to hang with a Ford guy, you know. And then them foreigners come in, them Toyota guys. Oh my, yeah. You know, people hang together. People hang together. And that's what I see. I see 10 men here. I see 10 that were in the same shape. And I see 10 who were consumed with their own trouble. And you say, how do I know? Because they were all together and they were all lepers. And if you thought they talked about anything other than their leprosy, then you got a lot smarter than me. They all had leprosy, and you know that their conversation is being, I lost my toe yesterday. Yeah, well, I lost mine last week. You know. My ear's about ready to fall off. Yeah, I see that. It looks awful. Mine fell off 2 weeks ago. I mean, what would their conversation be? Huh? Boy, the pus is running good today. I mean, what is their conversation? Think about that. Are you hearing me? And you say, "Why? I'm just talking. They're lepers, right. You know. Do lepers not do sinners not do the same thing? Hey, I drunk 6-pack last time. I drunk 12, huh? I drunk a fifth, and you know, I done smoked this much meth, and I done these many. I mean, is that not what people talk about? Yeah. Talk to me. We talk about the same thing." Every sinner does the same. And then you got your self-righteous sinners, you know, that they don't, you know, they drink their wine. And, yeah. Yeah. They ain't going to lower themselves to drink a beer. You know, sinners, I'm talking about sinners, you know. Everybody follow me. This will make you understand it. Everybody follow. Everybody runs together. Yeah. And the lepers, they run together. Huh? And they were consumed, no doubt, by their own, because they all come and they all wanted help, but they all come together. I can't get over they all come together. Are you staying with me? In the same shape. Because that's what was expected of them. And then there in verse 12, they all understood they couldn't help themselves. Can y'all see that? And then I see in verse 12, they all come to Jesus for help. Can you see that? And then they all cried for the same thing. They all cried for mercy. Can I tell you that when you come to Christ, that's really all you can ever cry for is mercy, because you don't deserve anything and you sure don't want justice. Everybody wants their justice. I don't want justice. You say, well, you need a good justice. Says, I don't want a good judge. I want a good advocate, a good lawyer. I don't want a good justice system. Huh? Because I know me. I know what the prosecutor is going to find. I know what the prosecutor is going to dig up and say, did you not on such and such day do such and such thing? Just answer yes or no, please. Yeah. Huh? Are we okay? Yeah. Be like Barney Fife being interrogated. That would be me. Just answer yes or no. Everybody okay? Yeah. That's the shape these guys was in. And they cried for mercy. Well, let's look on. Then I look at verse 13 there. It says that he lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And verse 14 is such a wonderful, wonderful verse. It says, and when he saw them. Yeah. And when he saw them. See, when he saw them, he saw them for who they was. Can I tell you, he knew their name. And then he saw them for what shape they was in. He knew exactly what was going on in their life. And when he saw them, he saw exactly what they needed. And can I tell you, it was exactly to the point. Jerry Rush has sung many times, and he saw me. He saw me. Yeah. Didn't you sing it? Ain't that what you say? No, it ain't that Jerry Rush sings that. Who is that sings that? He saw me. Yeah, he saw me. It's Squire Parsons sung it. Anyway, that's not the point. That he saw them. Now that's a wonderful verse. Now keep on. We're not even at the sermon yet. Just listen. Everybody okay? Verse 14. He came to me. That's what Jerry Rush said. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Well, can I tell you that was not good news? Did you know that? Did you know they weren't allowed to go see the priest? They were lepers. They weren't allowed. It was going to take some courage to do what had to be done. He said, you go show yourself to the priest. Now, it only wasn't going to take courage on their part, but it was going to take a powerful lot of faith. Now, here's 10 men that's lepers are dying. They're not allowed to go to the church house. They're not allowed to go where the priests were. Yeah. And Jesus says, go show the priest. Go to the priest. It's not good. But by faith, they exercise faith. We still okay? Now, verse 15 is where we want to really start. And one of them. If you got a pencil, you ought to mark under that line right there. And one of them. If you got a pen or a pencil on your Bible, it ain't going to hurt you to mark your Bible. You ought to mark it right there, and one of them. And that's just where we're going to preach from this morning. Is verse 15. I want to preach to you for just a minute, if I can, is I want to be one. I want to be one. Now listen to me this morning. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and he said, "Were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." I want to be the one this morning. See, ain't it a shame that they was 10 that come in the same shape, that 10 had run together? Can I tell you that 10 were cleansed together? Huh? You know, I come from a time of seeing multiple people saved in services. Multiple. When I growed up, it was nothing to see 16 saved on a Sunday morning at Dothan when I was growing up. On a certain, to say any simple Sunday morning, 16 people, get old people, young people, married couples coming, husbands and wives coming together. I see it's good that people can get saved together. Yeah. How many were saved on Monday? Raise your hand if you were saved on Monday. Somebody raise your hand. If you were saved, there's one. All right, who was saved on Tuesday? Oh, there's several. Who was saved on a Wednesday? Oh, there's several. Who was saved on a Thursday? Huh? Who was saved on a Friday? Huh? Who was saved on a Saturday? Who was saved on a Sunday? Huh? See, they people get saved multiple times together on same day. You understand? Well, that might not have been the same date. Everybody follow me? But what I want you to understand, they was 10 of them. They was 10 of them. And then here comes this one. This one out of the 10 comes back and says thanks. One out of 10 comes back, says, "Sure do appreciate what you've done." One out of the 10 come back. And Jesus asked a question, "Where are the 9? Well, where are the 9? Well, I don't want to be one of the 9 this morning. I want to be the one. I want to be the one. I'm going to challenge you this morning to be the one. Don't be the 9. See, the 9, they done some good things, you know. The 9, they went to see the priest. The 9 went to church. Huh? 9 of them went to church. I don't want to be the 9. I want to be the 1. See, 9 of them went to the church and they showed what happened. See, everybody knew they was lepers. See, they had to carry a bell with them and cry unclean when they come to town. They stunk. They were rotten. They were wrapped up. They were bandaged up. They'd already saw them 9 down there at the community pool where the rags of our righteousness is, wiping the pus from their putrefied sores. Huh? That's where they was. Everybody knew who they was. So they went to the church. Everybody said, "Ooh, oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Ooh, oh, I don't want to be the 9. I want to be the 1. Yeah. See, we got a church full of 9s. Yeah. We got a church full that will show themselves to the priest. Yeah. Look at how I am. Now, I'm not like I was. But we ain't got very many ones anymore. I want to be the 1. I don't want to be the 9 that just goes to church. Are you following me? I don't want to be the 9 that gets cleansed and just goes to the church and you don't see them doing anything else. I don't want to be that 9, huh? I don't want to be the 9 who don't come down and bow down to Jesus. See, there was 9 of them that didn't bow down to Jesus. But they went to church. They were 9 and didn't come by and thank the Lord. I don't want to be the 9. There were 9 that was cleansed and never, never turned around and said, "Thank you, Jesus." I won't be the 9. I won't be the 1. Huh? I want to be the one this morning. I want to be the one that turns and glorifies God. But first, I want to be the one that exercises the faith to believe. Because can I tell you, all 10 of them done that. They all 10 exercised some faith. And I want to be one that exercises faith this morning. Huh? Have you exercised faith in Jesus Christ this morning? Have you? I want to be one. But boy, but then things change then. Then things change. See, everybody I find have exercised faith in Christ because they all say, yeah, I'm saved. Everybody I meet anymore is saved. I don't care if they got a beer in their hand or if they just cussed a blue streak. Or if they're with their girlfriend and her wife didn't know it. Everybody's, yeah, I'm saved. I won't be the nine. I won't be the one. I want to be the one that knows what shape he was in. And come to Jesus. I won't be the one that was dirty and rotten and fallen apart, but placed his faith in Jesus. I won't be the one that didn't go with the nine, even though it was the right place to go, but they went to the feet of Jesus and bowed down. I want to be the one that gets down and says, boy, thanks. I sure do thank you. I want to be the one that don't get over that I'm not what I was. Can you imagine that old boy? And when Jesus said, go see the priest, here he is, rotten, fingers gone, ears gone, pus running all over him. And he starts toward the priest and he looks and said, wait a minute, there's all my fingers. Oh, there's my ears. Oh, I got my toes. Oh, my sores are done dried up. I ain't going to see that fella. I want to go back and see this one. And I want to bow down to this one because it's this one that made the change. And it's this one that touched me. And it's this one that restored me and made me whole. Can I tell you, he didn't just cleanse him, but it said he made whole. That means his ears come back, and his fingers come back, and his toes come back. That meant there were no scars. Can I tell you this morning, it makes a difference to be the one, not the nine. I'm sick of being the nine. I'm sick of being the nine. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one that I go back to, huh? It glorifies God. I'm going to be the one that glorifies Him for the difference He made in my life. Can I tell you, had I continued lost, I would have been in hell today. For the temptations and the opportunities that come by my way after I was saved almost run my life then. Huh? I wanted to be a Marine. That's not why I wear a flat top, as I don't like long hair. That's why I wear a flat top. All right? And it ain't got nothing to do with you wear what you want. I'm just telling you, that's why I wear it. Because I got a Marine complex. All right? But I wanted to be a Marine. All right, I love Cheryl more than I love wanting to be a Marine, so I got married instead of going to Marine Corps. But with my temper uncontrolled at that age, and the temptation that comes, my life would have been a shambles had I went to the Marine Corps. Because I would have forgot God. And I would have forgot home, family, and I would have been completely out of the will of God. God protected me from that. Now, have I always made the right choices? Lordy, no. No, we ain't going to talk about them. We ain't got the time for me to tell you the bad choices I made. But I never made a bad choice when I said I'm going to trust the Lord. There was opportunities for me to go to the world, and I had to make a choice. I said, no, I can't. I can't go that route. I can't go that route. There's opportunities to go places. And I even wanted to force my will that after I started preaching, that I went and talked to a Marine recruiter to go in as a chaplain. I was determined I was going to have my way. I'm going to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. Now, I'm right with God. I'm preaching the gospel now. I'll go to the Marine Corps and be a chaplain. Huh? Can you imagine me as a liberal? Really? I don't think I would have fit in a liberal uniform.
I don't think so.
You know, because I would have had, I couldn't have been a Baptist preacher in the Marine Corps. I'd have had to have been a liberal. And come as you are, believe what you want, and let's go back and get something to eat. See, when I look at what Jesus done for me, it wasn't just saving a little boy. But it was saving my life. Do you understand that He saved my life? That He saved my life. That the difference Jesus made in me wasn't just changing my citizenship from here to heaven, but it was coming in my life and making me everything that I am today, a child of God. I believe I'm in the will of God, preaching His Word in Mountain State Baptist Church this morning, and I want to be the one that tells you about it and praises the Lord and lift up a holy hand. I don't want to be the that don't bow down to Him, that don't glorify Him. And we got too many nines in the church. How many wants to be a one? How many say, I'm going to be a one? Listen, if I listen to the world, I'm not going to be a one. If I listen to my friends, I ain't going to be a one. I'll be a nine. See, we'll get along fine. If I'm a nine, I sit by you. But if I'm a one, sit by you, I'm out of place. Are you hearing me? Nobody pays any attention to a nine. Let a one get up and shout a little bit. Let a one praise the Lord a little bit. Let a one raise her hand. I'm talking about what the nine do. I don't want to be a nine. Man. Now, if y'all was a nine, I love you, but I ain't going to be like you.
Amen.
Nah, I'm sorry. I can't. I reckon I'm just too conservative. I'm not just not going to run on your platform.
Amen.
I'm going to have to be a one. See, I read about a lot of ones in the Bible. I read about a lot of ones. John the Baptist said, I'll be one. He must increase, I must decrease. And it wasn't just a little bit that clipped his head off. I think I'll be one. I think I'll be one. Oh, James said, I'll be one. They had to pitch him off the temple, off the steeple. I'll be one. Oh, Paul said, I'll be one. Yeah. Timothy, I'm getting ready to die. I want you to know I'm going to be one. Amen. They out there sharpening axe. I'm going to lay my head down and go clip it off. But I'm not going to be a nine. I'm going to be a one.
Amen.
He laid his head down. They clipped his head off. Oh, John said, I'll be one. I'll be a one. I'm not going to be a nine. And they said, we'll put you by yourself. He said, goody. You going to put me with Jesus? Exile on the Isle of Patmos. Beaten rock. There wasn't nothing but rock. What did he care if I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and he saw all the revelation? I think I'll be a one. I think I'll be a one. I won't be a nine. I don't want to be a nine like demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world. I don't want to be a nine. We okay? I don't want to be a nine and get so sanctimonious and so religious, you know. Oh, I must go to church and do my part. What part is that you're doing anyhow? You don't say nothing. You don't do nothing. You don't testify. You don't shout. You don't sing. Then what part is it you're doing? Now that's just, you're part of the nine. Hey, be a one. Be a one. I'll tell you how you be a one. Can I tell you? Look at yourself in the mirror. Are you what you once was? Are you what you once was? Hey, if you recognize that, you're on steps to being a one. Huh? Are you happy about it? If you look in the mirror and see you ain't what you used to be, are you happy about it? You're on the road to being a one. Huh? Huh? Look in your pride box. Have you got rid of your pride that you can bow down to Jesus? You say, you ain't no pride in my box. I think I can bow down. You're on the road to being a one. Huh? You'll never be a one full of pride. You'll never be a one thinking you got or made. You'll never be a one thinking you've arrived. Huh? You'll never be one. You'll always be a nine. You'll always be a nine. But to be a one, to be a one, you're going to have to come away from the nine. Are you hearing me? To be a one, you got to come away from the nine. See, he didn't stay in the group and holler back, thanks. And we'll do that. Thanks. No, I'm leaving the nine. I'm going to bow down. And I'm going to glorify him. Say, boy, I sure do thank you. Huh? I just want to be a one. I just want to be a one that comes to Jesus because nobody else can help. I want to be a one that comes to Jesus, glorify God. I want to be a one that comes to Jesus, give him thanks for what he's done. I want to be a one that comes to Jesus and leaves cleansed and whole. I want to be a one that don't forget where I was and what I was and what he's done. And I want to be a one that after I'm gone, that people will know that I was a one that glorified the Lord. And you say, well, ain't that pride? No. I got to leave a testimony for you. Can I share something with you? You know, I've preached, I don't know, 400 funerals, near 400 funerals. Do you know how many times I've had to dig to find something good to say about those who died? Seriously. Do you know how many times I've had to preach and almost be a hypocrite? I had to beat around the bush about what people really were. Now there's some that I, but nothing I could say that their testimony was greater than I could even tell it. But there were some that I had to scratch around and, well, they're there. There they are. I don't want that testimony. I want the testimony that I was a one. I want a testimony that I'm faithful. I want a testimony that I remembered what I was and what he made me. I want to be a one that I might glorify the Lord and people know. See, there's people that leave things in my mind that others may not think it, but this is the impression that was left on me. You know, I want to be a one. I was highly influenced by preacher Paul Skaggs. Many of y'all know preacher Paul Skaggs. I was highly influenced by how the man was just able to love you. He didn't care how low or dirty you was. He just loved you. In fact, his advice to me when I started preaching was, will you take advice from an old head? And I said, what's that? He said, love your people. I love Paul Skaggs. And any time I think of Paul, I always see a big smile. And in my mind, I hear him saying, there'll be no disappointments in heaven. That's what comes on my mind. I'd like to have a testimony like my papa. My papa, of course, he was my hero. But he was... The testimony is, I don't need to understand. I just need to hold his hand. There's a river somewhere called Jordan. One more valley, one more hill. The sermons over and over and over of one sermon that stands out of my mind all the time of my Papa Bill was that she had done what she could. Talking about the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair. And she said she had done what she could. And then the second point was, she gave all she had, the woman that gave the mites, you know. He preached on, she's done what she could, she gave all you had. And then the woman who was had an issue of blood that followed Jesus. And his last point is, she followed close to Jesus. She had done what she could, give all she had, and followed close. Now, my papa died in 1983. Now, why would I remember that in all these years? In 40 years? Because of the testimony of, I'll be the one. See, it didn't matter how dead the service was, Paul Skaggs was going to sing. If nobody brought any spirit with him, he had it with him. He just sang. Then preached. Like how far dead service. I've been in revivals with him. Papa, church would be dead. I mean, horribly dead. Been dead. In fact, been dead twice, plucked up by the roots. And him sang, have a good time. Because it wasn't about the people, the church. It wasn't about the building. It was about, he was just going to be a one. I see the same thing. Lynn Schieffer will enjoy the Lord. I don't care. I don't care where you're at. Lynn Schieffer's going to stand up while you're preaching. He's going to egg you on. He's going to. That's just Lynn Schieffer. Yeah. Naaman Moore. Naaman Moore will shout, and if he ain't able, he'll send it in by mail. He'll shout. He's going to have something to do. I mean, yeah. I won't be a one. Now, I don't want to be like these men. I want to have a testimony like these men. I want to be one that comes back. I don't want to be a nine. What do you want to be this morning? Well, are you satisfied being a nine? If you satisfied being a nine, let me give you what you resemble. Sour milk. Rotten eggs. Huh? Now, I'm going to give you a compliment. Even sour beans will sing. You leave them out in the sun, pull the lid off of them, they'll sing. That's the nine. I got issues. I got circumstances. But I ain't a leper no more. I got issues. I got circumstances. But I don't have to show myself to the priest. I can turn. I can kneel down at the one who changed me this morning. I think I'll just be one. I think I'll be the one that gives him thanks for saving my soul, for saving my life, for saving my kids, and you're saving my grandkids. My goodness, you've been good to me. I think I'll just be one. How many wants to be a one? Oh, how many sick of being a nine? How many so sick of being a nine that you'd be willing to say, God, I'm sorry for being old sire nine. I want to be a one this morning. Won't you be a one? And go ahead and glorify the Lord and give him thanks. Father, you're awful good to me. You sure have given me more than I deserve. And I want to give you more. I want to give you more because you deserve it. I'm not interested in being a nine. Oh, God, help me. Help me to be a one. Help me to be the one that'll come back. Help me be the one that'll praise you. Help me be the one that'll glorify your name. Help me be the one that'll leave a testimony for everybody to hear about from years and years gone by. Help me to be a one, I pray. Speak to every heart. Convict where it's necessary. Gouge where it's necessary. Oh, God, we've challenged. Now, Lord, help us to accept the challenge. In Jesus' name, and amen. Let's stand.